Direct and uniform Jewish United Prayer. Almighty and Eternal Father, again we come into Thy presence to worship Thee, to meditate upon Thy purposes, to draw strength and life out of Thy living Word. Praying that You shall grant unto us an understanding of the situations through which we pass, realizing that all these conditions in our environment have been known unto Thee from the beginning. All the events that have transpired, barring around us, have been known unto Thee. The words of the prophets, the revelation which were bestowed upon Thy apostles and given to Thy church, the message and direction which has been bestowed upon Thy household, informed them of all the things through which we pass. We pray, our Father, that the living oracle of spiritual truth which descends upon Thy children will keep them in each day and in each week and in each month informed concerning the situations which we are through, passing through. We thank Thee, our Father, for the knowledge that Thy word is triumphant, for whatsoever You have ordained from the beginning shall be brought to pass. As we proclaim Thy kingdom and Thy gospel, grant unto us the vision that we may see through Thy eyes the things that are happening and the things that will come to pass. And so we pray for the spiritual center of Thy nations, Thy church, praying that as Thy kingdom develops, that we shall grow with strength and with power and with revelation. Praying, our Father, as we meditate upon these situations of this present time, that we shall recognize the tremendous liberty and power and life that You will bestow upon Thy household. So we commit ourselves into Thy hands, praying Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we ask it. Amen. Speaking this afternoon, I'm proclaiming liberty throughout the land. We recognize very well that we are in one of the great turning points of all human history. But behind it is a panorama of events which has its foundations in the eternity and reaches out into the endless tomorrows. 61st chapter of Isaiah said, "The Spirit of the Lord God came upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach good tidings." And He declares that I have been sent to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty. Liberty to the captives, the captives which are bound. He's not literally talking about people in prison. He's not literally talking about people that have been held captive by captive armies and fought off dungeons. He's talking about the strategy of the enemy of God's kingdom, the forces of evil, to try to bind men where they think and to hold them in dungeons of darkness and oppression and to hold them by the processes of fear. And so the proclamation which Isaiah is talking about is a proclamation of liberty and of freedom, and it comes with knowledge. And that's one of the reasons why we oft say, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." For this statement upon the part of Christ was inferring that the knowledge of truth and the thing which proceeds out of the mind of God, illuminating the mind of the individual, will set him free from fears and from errors, from brainwashings, and from all the things that destroy and capture men. Therefore, he said, "I am come to proclaim liberty." Never have we been in a period of time when the enemies of our civilization are relentlessly waging war against us, trying to hold our minds captive. Their design is to get us to give assent to all the patterns and philosophies which they introduce, and at the same time to cast over us the fear concerning our security, our destiny in the earth, and the dangers which they tell us surround the world and encompass us unless we accept that interpretation of the things which they are trying to tell us. We have today a great assault against the nations of God's kingdom. This assault against the nations of God's kingdom is basically directed against the people who have understanding concerning who they are, people who have knowledge concerning God's plan for this hour. One of the most difficult periods of all time to speak from the standpoint of having a fully understanding group of people throughout the nation is now. Because we have faced a propaganda warfare that has been taking place in schools and in churches and throughout every institution of public opinion throughout these United States. This is true also among every great Christian nation of the world. The radio and the television and the newspapers have been added as a media for the transference of ideas, and the ideas which are being transferred do not belong to you, to your background, or to your origin. but they are definitely a part of the plan of the enemy to change and alter your destiny. Now, there's one thing I can assure you, and I want you to catch this background picture at all times this afternoon. I want you to see behind the whole background of everything going on the face of the earth and everything that's taking place in every continent and throughout all the great nations. I want you to see the background of the eternal God, your Father. I want you to see that as declared in the book of Colossians, all things are made by Him, for Him. He holds everything together. He's the mighty eternal God. I want you to recognize that all of the universe is held together by the laws and the energies and the powers that emanate from the center of His intellect and His consciousness. I want you to catch this picture that nothing has transpired, that He has not declared from the beginning that these things would come to pass. He knew the exact limits that He would put upon the enemy and how far the enemy could go, seeking in his evil ways to destroy God's kingdom. And so when we recognize that we are in a tremendous struggle and it requires an intense understanding, it is as complicated a situation today as has ever been faced by anybody who wants to know and understand what's going on. That's why the Scripture refers to it as a period of chaos. It's a time that can confuse members of the same family until they don't know what side of situations they're on. When men are confused, when they don't know where they stand, it's because they can't think clearly, because something's muddling. The centers of their thought are supplying them with wrong information. So one of the processes which we're faced with today is that the enemies of the kingdom of God have moved into our nation, have been binding up men where they think by filling them with error, by giving them also an inferiority complex. You know, today one of the strategies of Lucifer is to exalt himself above all individuals as the acme of all knowledge. And then these pseudo-intellectuals, because the knowledge of Lucifer is in error, and those that do his work are also in error. He transforms himself as an angel of light, but he's not an angel of light. He's an angel of darkness, and his end and his works both bear testimony to this. I think in this past week we have had a lot of opportunity to see what we mean when we talk about the ministers of darkness, the philosophies of darkness across our nation in this last week, which historically should be a period where we were celebrating liberty and independence, where we celebrate the 4th of July, which marks the fact that this nation, under the strange emblems of ancient Manasseh, this great Anglo-Saxon culture, which was to arrive at its destiny on divine measures, did. And the 4th of July, 1776, 2520 years after Manasseh's captivity, this great land declared its independence as the great nation of the eagle, the last days of God's purposes in the earth for His kingdom, and the establishment of its power started into being. You know, the word Manasseh comes also out of other Hebrew roots, such as Nasher, and Manasseh and Manasseh come together, and that means the eagle. You are an important nation. A nation called of God for a very vital responsibility, a part of His household in carrying the heraldry of the eagle. There is no question about the fact that the enemies of the kingdom of God understand that this nation is without doubt the strongest resistance center for the nations of the world against the forces of evil. Today the forces of evil are largely led by what we call communist countries, because today the propaganda and the political policies of the Antichrist is world communism. At the same time, we are to understand that there are many forces of evil that are carried out in many processes that are all organized behind the scenes by the same masters of evil and the same Luciferian forces, which might not be carried out under that particular banner. Pagan philosophies, witch doctors, and false religions today have common federations in which their massed assemblies under various names and orders are waging war against Christianity and Christian nations. I think that in this last week we've had some opportunity to see how far-reaching the strategy of your enemy goes. On 4th of July, when naturally the nation throughout all its years has been celebrating its independence and its birth and its existence, we heard a lot about interdependence this year. Speakers got up and some of them represented high positions of government authority. Others were representing the Supreme Court or other branches of American political life. Don't think for a moment the Supreme Court isn't political. It has degenerated into a very cheap political machine. The Chief Justice of the United States came to Los Angeles and spoke before about 600 Jews. That's where he ought to stay with his little skull cap on ever since he became practically one of them after he took his course in their Talmudic teaching. The fact remains that while there he talked in his speech about global independence, and the ultimate program that he advocated was the same program as that of the Antichrist, in which you have a one-world government and a one-world embrace society, and it is not in coordination with God's plan, but is in support of the program of the Antichrist. We listen to the plans called interdependence. Billy Salinger, the voice for the president, talks about the global aspects of this day, and other experts speaking from Washington, making speeches here and there throughout the nation, were reported, and what they had to say was the fact had come when no longer could men be free by pursuing their own destiny or their own courses. They could not live as did our pioneers, where they had to produce all the things they needed and very few opportunities to get anything else except by some exchange. They could not provide all their clothing and all their food and all their housing by weaving it or cutting it down with an axe, and so no longer can we be independent. But our society has become technological and interdependent, and we all must depend on the other individual. But because there's so many of us and so many individuals, it's become so complex that no longer can we work out this complex procedure without experts in the complex procedure of how to govern you and redistribute your goods. So therefore, we have developed specialists in government and specialists in economic problems, and these men have developed an acme of governmental evolution that is unprecedented in our history. And instead of independence, they said, we celebrate this day a new interdependence. And if you want to be free from all kinds of political worry, and worry about economy, and worrying about problems, and how to work out all this very complex society, all you have to do is just turn it over to the experts, and they'll look after you, and then you just be willing to surrender a little bit of your individual freedom in order to make this great complex interdependent society work. But now they didn't stop that at the boundaries of your nation. They didn't say this is where we stop this procedure of this intelligentsia that's going to look after all of our affairs. They said, no, we're going to have to spread this until all the world is integrated into a vast governmental leadership by experts at the top who know how to run this thing and know your economic problems and know how to steer this thing. All you got to do is stay in your own niche and pay all the burden and all the taxes and make what you know how to make and work in the kind of job you know how to do and leave everything else to everybody else. They said, when you do this, why, remember that we have men who have studied for years on this problem, who have been doing research, and foundations have expended millions and billions of dollars to make you a slave. So as Dr. Swift, this is true, we can't make all the things we need. One individual can no longer do all the things that his forefathers used to do as a pioneer. Well, this great nation has maybe become specialists. But I want to tell you, the need for the work of each individual and his specialization does not require that he become a slave, or that he no longer have any voice in the affairs of his government, or that he must support all the pagans of the world in order to survive, or that he has to appease the powers of Antichrist, or the Antichrist will come suddenly and destroy. Pseudo-intellectualism is false intellectualism. It is a declaration of great understanding with intellectual capacities that actually is not there. Because if you learn something that's an error, no matter how you master it, it's still error. And unless in your equation of the intricate world in which you live is a complete and absolute understanding that the universe is held together by our Father, and He has a plan, and it's a master plan, and He's working it out, and He's going to continue to work it out, and He's going to destroy evil and elevate righteousness. Unless this is a great backdrop to your thinking, you'll never understand what's going on, and you'll live in fear. If there's any important thing for you and I to know today, it's to know that there is absolutely nothing for you as a child of God to fear. I also want you to know that there is a lot of things for you to do, and it is not possible for you to just sit down and rest and let everything else come to pass without you doing anything about it. Because the most complete way to find yourself involved in troubles and mental problems with what's going on is to be doing nothing about the program of God's kingdom. The enemy today is quite subtle. He is moving in, as we have cited, and we listen to these speeches We listen to them on radio and television and across the reports and the bulletins and extracts out of newspapers and from all over the nation. And for every patriotic speech that was made, there was 100 of these fellows telling about how we had to surrender the independence and how we had to enfold all the philosophies and all the peoples of the world. And this was the great and glorious good that we were working for. Now, I want you to catch this pattern when we tell you you have nothing to fear. Because if you today were to look at the general trend and the most important periodicals and magazines of the last week, why, they look pretty fearful. United States News, David Lawrence's editorial itself, he's talking about the dangers of this hour. He says men can't go to sleep without trembling. They don't know if they're going to be blown up before morning. 60 million Americans can die. One blow, he says. That's not very comforting. He says that men are moving into trivial situations that can explode a great crisis. I don't know what you call trivial. And he said they're not getting down to business and things are too mixed up. And he said, we've got to find some solution. We've got to find a way to live by the golden rule or something else. Anyway, to stave off this catastrophe. He says, men are living with fear. I looked at the front page of this morning's Examiner, and the major article in the first page and in the A section is by Major Seversky, a brilliant analyst on air power and on air matters. And the major caption he writes in the subcaption of it is, America is too young to die. When he says America is too young to die, it's carrying out the symposium that America is about on the edge of what could be death. Not necessarily a suicide, but annihilation by the enemy because we did not pay attention to the things we should have paid attention to. And I read the article because he's made several very brilliant analyzations within it in his field and in his research. And if Major Seversky doesn't know what I know and what you know today about what God's promised, he's probably shaking in his boots all the time he walks around. Because he gave every reason why, unless we wake up and do it with great speed between now and the end of 1962, America is going to be atom-bombed with 60 million people dead or more, and the rest of us reduced to slavery, defeated, and conquered by the armies of the Antichrist. What he tells you. You better all get out your shovel and dig a bomb shelter right away. And then that's not going to save y'all, but it's going to save those that don't get a direct hit, maybe, if you've got enough food and water to last till it's decontaminated because it's about here. That, my friends, is the major phase of that particular article in today's Examiner. I received a technical digest in which it has exploded with great alarm. Because being in the ordnance field, it has discovered that there has something gone wrong and somebody's done some sabotage in Pentagon departments and in areas where our warfare would be naturally organized from a logistic ordnance basis. We switched from the 30-06 to the 308 or the T-14 as a NATO cartridge, so all the great nations of the Western powers would have the same cartridge and the same kind of weapons would be interchangeable as far as the cartridge is concerned, whether they used a Belgian rifle or an American rifle. And now they discover that there's somehow something's gone wrong. Specifications which are so simple in a matter like that, and American shells won't fit most of our NATO cartridges, allies' guns. And if we got in a battle and the cartridges got shifted, we wouldn't even be able to fight. The great companies like Winchester and Remington that took the contract for this changeover and was supposed to have us all outfitted and ready to go by the end of this year, and many of these divisions are supposed to be equipped now, and they haven't even started to accomplish this job. And when they were interrogated, they said it's not our fault. Every few days the government comes along and changes the specifications. We have to start all over again. Now we want to know who changes the specifications and who's constantly sabotaging the situation. But you know what they're worried about? I take the last three paragraphs. They said if Soviet Russia hits between now and October, we happen to have a miscellaneous group of weapons without any coordinated ammunition, and we're going to have a supply problem, and we may get all mixed up, and we might not have what we want, where we want it, or enough. And they're worried that the enemy will not give us time enough to get ready, because that's not the way you win a war.
And I look at the Ordnance Magazine of hard technicians, and their logistics are laid out before them, and they're worrying. And if you know the strategy of the enemy who's working relentlessly on the inside, you would understand why it is that every magazine and every digest and everything you pick up, it's disturbed and it's worried, and the appeasers are making a mountain out of all these situations. Say, well, the only thing to do is agree with your enemy, unless you disagree with him and die suddenly. Someone said, oh, what's the equation? Doesn't have any of that in it. Certainly, the saboteurs have sabotaged us, and we need 50 McCarthys instead of the one great senator that passed away under persecution. It's true that there's something that's got to be straightened out, but the moment we find something, let's oust the rascals. I tell you, if you were to deport out of these United States every enemy of your nation that hated Christ and your way of life, you would soon discover you were on the way to liberty, freedom, and sound defense and security. But the master design has not only been to sabotage your society, but then, at the same time, to try to belittle it. Even Major Seversky believes that by the end of 62, that Russia will have 3 times the missile superiority over us, and it's going to be too late then. We're going to have to agree or surrender or do something else. General Douglas MacArthur spoke on the 4th of July out in the Philippines. He told the Filipinos, I've returned. I don't know how many times or if I'll return again because of the lengthening shadows of my life. America doesn't want to see you lose your independence. He warned that the terrible problem with the Pacific was the rise of Red China. And he said Red China is bound on world conquest. And he says Red China has become a terrible, powerful military org. And he said, we could have stopped that. We could have won when we were fighting the Korean War. We could have won when we were dealing with this situation. But they sabotaged it. Men in high positions of power sabotaged it and made Red China powerful. Now it's a reality. He said, we want to warn you this, that American soldiers are going to be fighting shoulder to shoulder with you again. General Douglas MacArthur said in the Pacific, we will be fighting again. Why? Because an enemy has moved into our nation and has carried out this activity. Now we well understand who that enemy is. Almost all of them are enemies of our faith, deny that Jesus is the Christ. They work to destroy everything that's American, everything that's Christian, everything that's basically good. They hypnotize the pseudo-intellectual. They fill him with praise. They puff him up with his own concept of greatness which doesn't exist. And then he looks down upon everybody else as a peasant, irrespective of his background or his education. And in this strategy today, they think they have set up for the kill. Now, so it said, well, why isn't this something for men to worry about? Well, Jesus said they were going to worry. Do you remember what he said about your day? He said men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for just looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for just looking at things that are coming upon the earth. One man was so worried the other day that he committed suicide and left a note that the world situation had him so torn up and he was so fearful about what was coming that he killed himself. That shows you that they're becoming insane, because what could happen in the world that do any more than kill him? We are in that type of period. So one must take another look at this. God can limit the power of Lucifer. He can hold him on a leash. He can only go so far. All the powers of darkness and all the powers of evil can only go within permissible realm. And when they planned this destruction, God not only knew about it, but even told you the nations that would be involved. He told you the hordes that come out of the Russians and they come down over the north. In Major Seversky's article today, he shows all the aircraft and their salient points and where they're going to hit across the whole northern portion of America's industrial centers, Detroit and Chicago and Seattle and then down. Tell us how they're going to do it. All right, Scripture said that's the way they're going to try to come. I want to tell you something about all this. This book has warned us concerning the military endeavors of the great Northern Army. It has told us about the conspiracy. It's warned us what would happen if we let people come into this nation that denied Jesus the Christ. It warned us about joining ourselves together with nations that were non-Christian. It told us not to be unequally yoked together. It warned us against this infiltration of the parasites, which God calls insects.
You turn over to the book of Job. He talks about the leanness of his people in Jeremiah, and he tells you also that in the book of Job, that the pommel worm and the canker worm and the locust and the caterpillar, which are nothing but insects, he says they've come in and they have moved against the kingdom of God upon the body politic and the religious body and upon the economic body and upon the creative or economic body in the realms of its manufacturer's life and then upon the very foundations of the nation. You get one worm that crawls in and eats at the very heart of the plant. You get another one that eats all the leaves off the tree. You get another one of these insects that bores into the bark to let the sap run away. And you have another one that goes right in and seeks to destroy the life of the tree at the root. Pommel worm, caterpillar, and locust play their part. And each one of these worms and insects carries out his plan against you. Now God said, you're my people. They're the people I poured out a former rain of spiritual power upon. Here these enemies have moved in, and I tell you today, these are the enemies of your society. Parasites that don't produce, they live on you. And they're seeking to destroy your nation by going right into its foundation, trying to destroy its Christianity, trying to take Christ out of your national life and out of your body politics. Let me tell you that a few weeks ago we told you about the forces of darkness that were seeking to destroy every phase of the Spirit of Christ and the Christ life in the nations of God's kingdom and in your nation. Right here they were trying to wipe out every baccalaureate service. Eventually they want to wipe them out all over the nation so that when our young people at graduation time have graduation services and there'll be no baccalaureate. They don't want any sermons, any prayer, any spiritual foundation, or any of these things to be attached to education or to our young people. Their evil strategies have gone deep in this plant, and they have carried out a very satanic proposition. They have used their Anti-Defamation League attorneys and other Jewish organization attorneys to bring the pressure. And in California, they made the test case in Kern County, but they made it in a lot of others. And in those areas, they actually ordered the cessation of baccalaureate services or prayer at any of these exercises in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, some of the clergy in that county, his staff especially, they just set up their own baccalaureate services. And the students all came and they had them under their own auspices, which was none of the business of the Department of Education, which was knuckling to this. But I want to call your attention to something. When I tell you this is all a part of the problem of this hour, this is what we mean when it says start to proclaim liberty throughout the land. We're going to start setting the captives free because we're going to win a war against every facet of this. Here in Washington, D.C., I'm reading Jewish bodies slap down all baccalaureates. A conference of all Jewish leaders say baccalaureate programs at public school graduation exercises violate the principle of the separation of church and state. I want to pause here. I want you to remember this and never forget it again. There is nothing in the Constitution of the United States or the Bill of Rights that talks about separation of church and state. Now I want to tell you something else. There's constant talk about supporting the major principle of separation of church and state, and there is nothing American at all in the Constitution of the Bill of Rights about separation of church and state. A great American, Thomas Jefferson, made his speech in Philadelphia to a bunch of businessmen. And he said, in order to retain our political and economic and social freedom, it is wise that we retain a principle of separating the effectiveness of any single church from becoming a state church from the state. And we should support a principle of separation of church and state. Now, when he said that, he pointed out that in England, the Church of England was the official church and had special political privileges above all other denominations. The Catholic Church was supreme and had special political and social privileges above all other churches. Thomas Jefferson wasn't waging war against the church in any of its ramifications.
He just said, I think we should adhere to a principle and develop it, that we should separate the political body from the influence or control of any one segment of the ecclesiastical order. And from that speech has gone this great boogaboo that never bothered anybody, that through all these years we have never permitted the statement of a state church, but we have always permitted the recognition this is a Christian nation.
But the Jews got a hold of it, and they've been trying to make this a legal principle, as though it were a part of the law of the United States. There's no part of the law at all. Now, this resolution was to effect passed Friday by the National Community Relations Advisory Council. Now, you here in Los Angeles hear about this National Community Relations Advisory Council every once in a while. People think it's some great big coordinated council of all the communities. Then it speaks as though it's part of a national council, and pretty soon your local community public relations body with many organizations in it think they're also a part of something that's directing their influences from Washington. Now listen. The National Community Relations Advisory Council says this Washington report is a coordinated body of Jewish community councils and major Jewish national organizations. And the people that are trying to wipe Christ out of your schools, and in an hour when you need to combat juvenile delinquency with spiritual values, are seeking to make you as materialistic and pagan as possible is organized Jewry in these United States. Since the education provided in public schools is not religious, the resolution said the ceremony conducted by public schools marking the termination of the period of education likewise must not be religious. The only point I want to point out is we told you back there who was doing it. We said the Jewish organizations of the ADL were doing it. Now we have in our hands a documented report from Washington saying that all the major Jewish organizations and a major Jewish coordinating council have worked to take away all spiritual and religious life out of every phase of your national life. It was only a few days ago that the Supreme Court of the United States went outside the jurisdiction of the Constitution, which cites that they must reserve to the states any procedures not specifically delegated to the federal government in the Constitution, and they overrode the authority of states in their own election laws to say that a man must be a believer in God to be elected or to high office in our state. Now, there's about 17 states with that in their code. And it's not been challenged maybe as many times as it should, but when an atheist, an agnostic, a left-winger wanted to run, the state wouldn't have him while the pressure was on, and in order to clear the route, they took an agnostic and an atheist, and they carried it all the way to the court. And the court said that this had to be set aside, that a man does not have to believe in God, nor can the government force either the belief in God, support or advocate or place itself in any position supporting either a recognition of God or a belief in God or anything that relates to the identity of God in the individual. It isn't legal. So this Supreme Court, full of intellectual numbskulls, have come out with a pagan antichrist measure in our time to reverse the whole tradition of our society. You know what they're disturbed about in Washington? A whole lot of things besides this. Because if there's no legal value to any directive, governmental activity that is done in the name of God or by or through the process of requiring recognition of God, and if everything that requires recognition of God is illegal, then in 1955 or 1951, when the Congress of the United States, and it was 1955, passed a edict that on every piece of American money, coined, minted, or printed, must be the words, "In God We Trust." So that means that $31 billion of currency put into circulation since that time must not be valid. If anything done by a government that requires recognition of God is no longer constitutional or legal, then, my friends, all this money that says as it passes from one hand to the other, "In God we trust," is no legality to it.
And everybody that's taken an oath of allegiance and has assumed a high office in this country, including the President of the United States, his inauguration is not legal. Because he not only took it with his hand on the Bible, but said, "So help me God." It's required. So now the Supreme Court says that which is required and that which was done under a government order, anything that required on the basis of some adherence to the recognition of God, isn't legal.
I begin to question the legality of the court. In 1951, I believe it was, the Supreme Court of the United States stated, "We are a religious people whose institutions presuppose a supreme being." That wasn't this court. That was in 1951, 10 years ago. In 1892, the Supreme Court said, "This is a religious nation." And that same court recognized God in Christ. But in these last few days of the closing of an era in which you're moving to the real tight spot, they can move into the high courts of a nation upon such spiritual principles and try to remove Christ and God out of it. And you know what the canker worm and the palmer worm are like, to go in to destroy the heart of the tree and move right in to try to destroy on the very inside the life inside the seed. When I look at all these other rascals that have the same kind of face, nose, and complexion, that come out of the same bunch of parasitical insects, and they want to eat all of the leaves off the tree, everything that's green, they want it. And they're taxing and taxing more to spread it farther and farther away, and the principles of independence and of the sovereignty of the nations of God's kingdom are being constantly destroyed by this kind of insect. When they have the whole thing destroyed, they then compute that they've accomplished their objective. Now, anyone can say, "Dr. Smith, that's more to worry about. Destroying the nation on the inside, they're trying to confiscate our money and distribute it among the pagans and all over the world. They're moving into the very life of our patriotism to destroy it with one worldism." But what about the rest of the story? My book tells me that the Most High and Eternal God said, "I'm going to send now." No, the reason why the tree was green to begin with is because the life came from Him. The reason why the parasites are here are because you are the half peoples that God blessed so the corn grows higher in Iowa than anywhere else, until you can get more food and more vitality out of the soil, until your intelligence creates and produces more than anywhere else. You're a half people of great blessing. So all the parasites run here to try to finance their world conquest at your expense. You didn't have anything but a parched, dried up desert, nothing on it, no life, no vitality, nobody'd come here. Now let me tell you this. The last half of that story is, "I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all my sons, upon all my daughters, my young men and my old men." What is that spirit? A wavelength of divine energy, life, knowledge, understanding, and just sheer go is coming down from the Most High God upon His children. It's not only going to illuminate for them the whole picture, but they're going to come out of our sleep as this great vibration, this cosmic perceptive understanding of God's own consciousness and omniscience descends on His people. And He said there's going to be deliverance in the last. And He said, "When my people have this wavelength of spiritual power descend on them, and they're going to wake up and they're going to eliminate the insects. And the palmer worm and the canker worm and the locust and the caterpillar, they're going to go." I take great hope out of that. I see here that every parasite that hates your God, your faith, your race, and your nation is going to have to go out of these United States, or he's going to be stepped on right here. The God says, "I'm going to restore unto you everything that these insects have taken from you." Now, I'm not cast down. I understand what the enemy's doing. I'm opposed to it. I'll fight against it.
because I feel that you and I are being stirred in this hour by this wavelength of divine energy which is coming for this proclamation of liberty again, and that's why people are talking, and that's why they're speaking, and that's why the word goes out.
I may disagree with some of the opinions of Robert Welch. I may not support all the things that he might teach inside the John Birch Society, but I'm going to tell you that whether he knows it or not, he was an instrument, along with a lot of other factors, to start stimulating people's concern concerning the enemy, and the people across the nation became alerted, and they started to reach out for truth, and they're not just reaching out there, they're taking it everywhere they can get it. Christian nationalism, patriotism, and its many forms of being spiritually energized. These tapes now over the 4,000 point, playing all over the country. Letters are coming back. People are interested, stirred. They call for more. They're thinking coordinated. It runs into the thousands upon the thousands upon the thousands. Now what's happening? There's a stimuli. This is a spiritual flow of energy and idea that God's turning loose on this station, and they're going to come out of it with a proclamation. The people are going to start doing something. Someone said, yes, but Dr. Swift, we can't do too much against that tremendous nuclear stockpile that the Soviet Russians have. We can't do too much against the problems of a military enemy that has sabotaged a lot of our military endeavors, against a decentralization of intelligence, against a mix-up in our armed forces, against the logistical problems. We can't do something against that. Let me tell you something. Almighty God can not only crystallize strength, and there are a lot of things that are not sabotaged, a lot of things will be brought together, and there's greater spiritual ingenuity going to turn loose among you than you've ever used before. I think the next 6 to 8 months may be one of the most active periods in your history. But listen. God said, now, when I told you they'd come, and I've limited them to how far they can go, and I didn't pull them in, I let them go. This enemy that gathers together does not come with my blessing for your destruction. And whosoever shall gather together against thee is going to fall for thy sake, because I'm thy Father, and I said that's the way it's going to be. Everyone that's going to gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake, and I, thy Father, promise it. Someone said, well, but that's way off. Not way off, he's right here. More than that, he holds every atom of their being together. Now listen to this. You think how wise you've been in your defenses and your technology in the past? He said, I have created this smith that bloweth the coals from the fire, that brought forth the instruments in his work, and I have created the weapons or the wasters that destroy. Now, no weapon, not one single weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I'll tell you why you don't have to fear. In the first place, you don't have a guilt complex. You do, it's your own fault. Your Father took your transgressions from you as far as the east is from the west, and remembered them against you no more, nailed them all to his cross, those that had happened and those that were going to happen. He said, I've set you free. I've begotten you with eternal life. You're never going to perish. You have nothing to fear as far as the planes of spirit or dimensions. If an enemy could destroy you physically, he couldn't destroy your spirit. And he couldn't go farther than the promises of your Father that he's going to raise every body, and he's going to balance every soul consciousness that exists. And spirit, soul, and body, you're going to be perfect before your Father. Now, you've got nothing to worry about spiritually. He's promised all the spiritual power that you can take. He's promised to give you as much as you look for. He said, I'll give you everything you search for. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He's given you an outline in here of things that are happening, and told you that he was going to wake up every white nation of Christendom, and that you, the Anglo-Saxon peoples, and the Germanic peoples, and all the other white peoples of the world were going to stand together, and he was going to give you the greatest victory the world's ever seen. We've used the passage many times that the saints of the Most High God are going to take the kingdom, and they're going to possess the kingdom. You can turn over in the book of Jeremiah.
It says, "And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth in that day, and there shall be one eternal Lord, and his name one, and he's your Father, and he's here delighting to bless thee and to make the universe and the earth secure." Now let's take a look at this picture. You are the children of the Most High God who were blessed with Him in spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ before the world was framed. According as He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world, sent you down on the earth to build His kingdom, positioned the time of your birth, predestinated every one of you to exist as His children in the earth, and ordained through His own incarnate embodiment that He was going to redeem you according to the pleasure of His own will, bounded towards you with all wisdom and all knowledge, and that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, right here in the earth, that's where time is measured, that He was going to gather together all things in one, under one administration, in Christ, which are in the heavens, which are in the earth, even in Him. We have this inheritance because we were predestinated according to this purpose, who works all things according to the counsel of His will. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things of earth and things down in the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the eternal Yahweh. And I told you last week, He said, "Novus ordo seculorum," a new order of the ages, and I saw a new order in the heavens, a new order in the earth. And I make all things new, and I delight to put my blessing upon every one of my children who I have ordained are going to conform to my own image, and it's the Christ in you that's the hope of all the nations. I'm going to save your nation with great power. Your father said, "I'm going to throw armies of angels round about. I'm going to bring in power from space. I'm going to bring in heavenly angels and heavenly armies. I'm going to call in thy kinsmen. I'm going to gather out the rascals. We're going to remove the rascals. We're going to lock up rascals. We're going to take them out of the earth." All these things the Father said. Now, we're not in a strange place that's not known. If you walked into an unknown historical period where nothing was according to prophecy, you'd have something to worry about. But everything that is surrounding us now and through which we're passing has been prophetically stated as the strategy of the enemy, and the backdrop is the mighty God who's going to bring in a great victory. And the greater and bigger the enemy looks, the bigger the victory is going to be. You know what is already moving? You can't see it, but you can feel it. There's a wavelength of that cosmic energy out of God's own life and nature, the very essence of the tremendous power of His Holy Spirit that sets up the whole vision and spectacle of His plan and purpose, that is automatically received by every one of your race because you are His children. And it is starting to move now and is going to spread out first to those awakened sons who are expecting it, and soon it's going to envelop every one of His children until they all stand on their feet with vision and knowledge and understanding. When He shall appear, they shall be like Him, they shall think like Him, they shall know even as He knows. And at this moment, for alerted sons, He's doing a short work of righteousness and spiritual power, and with it comes a great patriotic determination to do something for the kingdom. One person said to me the other day, "Dr. Swift, I'm so happy that God's going to do so many great things and that we're on the edge of such a great day. I just can't wait for God to get here and do all this." I said, "Well, that's the problem." I said, "God's going to do a lot of things, and you're supposed to be doing a lot of things getting in preparation for it." You know, people say, "We're against this high taxes, and we're against communism, and we're against the enemies of Christ, and we're against the covering up of the name of Christ," and all these things, then start talking about it, start doing something about it. Someone said, "Well, that takes a lot of energy." Well, you'll discover that the more energy you use, the more God gives you. The tiredest people I know are doing nothing. They hardly have enough strength to get around. They're worried about the conditions. They want to know if I don't think they should move to Colorado or somewhere. That's the headquarters, by the way, the 13th District, the Communist Party. So if you run to the center, you get right in the middle. I want you to know right now that the important thing for every one of you to do is to bear witness to the truth and start binding this darkness and exposing that thing which is evil, and do it not with fear but with hope. What we need today is evangelists. We need men to go into every city and people to go into every community and start proclaiming the kingdom of God and the power over the enemy. Start exposing him for who he is so everybody knows where he is and who he is. So when the enemy starts something, they'll know who to get. So I mean that I think we should lock up, tie up, and imprison every last agent of communism and everybody who supports it the moment that we move into an emergency measure. And I think if our government was wise, it'd pick them up now. I believe that we have reached a point where the spiritual flow of power, which is received by the children of God with vision, they can feel it. They are activated by it. They want to do something. They want to move. But when God starts to pour out upon people a desire to do something, he's about ready to do something. I'm convinced there is nothing as powerful as ideas out of God's mind moving through yours. For this cause, God set up the church, he set up his oracles, he set up the ministry, he set up the spirit of prophecy, he gave us the Holy Scriptures, and now he speaks literally by his spirit through his people. I want you to know that God is activating people, and there are a lot of people that in their individual affairs don't know why they have been so stirred over the situation and the political situation, the patriotic urge that's in them are challenging. This is the work of the Most High God. I have one atheist that comes here that's a communist. Every week he writes me a silly letter. He wastes his own typewriter ribbon and his own paper. Most of the time I don't read it unless I just want some kicks. And he denies everything in the Bible, and he thinks I'm silly and foolish because I believe it, and he's silly and foolish enough to think, because he's pointed out all the lies that he believes, that he's going to convince me, and I suppose I'm going to stop believing the thing I believe. But the more he talks, the more I believe what a great thing it is to have faith instead of being a boob like he is. And the more he writes, and the more he curses, and the more he cries out against our God, the more he proves that we have a God, and the thing he's cursing is the progress of God's kingdom. Someone says, he says, look out now, one of these days you're going to be dead, and that's it. Well, I know a bunch of silly preachers don't know any better than that. Suppose I tell you, the children of God's kingdom never die. They don't even die when the body's laid in the grave. For that which God begat by his Spirit never dies. No one can kill it, and you can't put it to sleep. A lot of people like to go to sleep. Go ahead and go to sleep. They've been so tired all their lives, they think that that would be a good thing to go to sleep for a while. You're never going to sleep. Your spirit never did sleep. Your spirit prays while you sleep, the Bible tells me. I'm glad my spirit prays while I sleep, because it knows what I have need of more than I do. But I want you to know that the power of darkness can't destroy you. The spirit does not die, and the consciousness is there. And someone says, how do you know? Because we get an extrasensory perception out of spiritual realms that the senses couldn't give us, and we know it's coming from somewhere, and there's something here to receive it. Man comes to me and says, prove the spiritual realm, prove the existence of God, prove that you got eternal life, prove these things. You can't prove it to an idiot. But I can tell you what we can prove. That God gives vision and knowledge and wisdom, and it can be received, and we can catch the picture, and we don't get it through the senses. And we can prove that we hear and we know, and it doesn't come through the senses. And we can add to that what the senses see and what they hear and what they know, and we know the distinction. And we know today that the only thing that is waiting in the world today for the greatest wave of power that will prove the manifestation of God's sons in the flesh is the coordination of the spirit and the mind to do the work in the body that God put you here to do. Yes, we're going to see one of these days all the world's one. Someone says, how's that going to be? We're going to see one great mighty kingdom, and all the nations and all the kingdoms of this world are going to come under the administration of that kingdom. But they're not all going to be brothers, and they're not all going to belong to the same family. We're not going to marry them. But we're going to give them justice, righteousness, and fairness and administration. And we are going to see every voice sing the praise of our Father. Someone said, well, that's an authoritarian world. That's a world when they can't do what they please. Well, they don't have any principle that says everybody does what they please. Because there's a lot of things that are against the law that you can't do in this country if you please to be evil. There are a lot of things under divine law that you can't do if you please to be evil. When we talk about liberty and freedom and proclaiming liberty throughout the land, it's setting people free inside the vastness of God's grace, His plan, His love, and His program. It's not setting people free outside of sanity. The liberty which is our liberty is the liberty of the Spirit of God. No binding fear, no condemnation, no unknown tomorrows. Someone talked about the great land across the river of the unknown tomorrow. Moving out into the shadows, there isn't any such land. It's not unknown. There isn't any place my spirit can go to that it hasn't come from, and it doesn't find itself lost when it gets there. There's no shadows there. When someone talks about an unknown future for the earth, there isn't anything unknown about this. Just because 5/6 of the world are pagan and anti-Christian doesn't mean the future is unknown, because the children of God are going to take possession and rule. It's time, if all the patriots, if all the down-to-earth, God-loving, God-fearing Christian Americans that still love the United States because it's a nation which has been dear to them for what it stands for its origin, and for its destiny, who love that flag because of what it represents in its sacrifice, who love the name of Jesus Christ, if they all spoke out today, their cry and their praise and their hosannas and their great calls for patriotism would so move like a wave of the ocean that the voices of those that hate it would hardly be heard. The only problem is we've let the enemy do the cry, we let him do the talking, and he's amplified it over the communication system. When the children of God speak out, it's going to be like the call of the trumpet. It's going to be a mighty cry of awake out of thy sleep. So we tell you that you've got to proclaim liberty throughout the land, but it's liberty from fear, liberty from superstition, and liberty from doubt. And then let's talk about the kingdom that's coming in. The age which is upon you, according to your faith be it unto you, and which life and power and immortality is yours. This is God's day, God's hour.